Tonight, if you'd like to turn to the book of Acts, I have a teaching, and we'll sprinkle a little bit of preaching in with it. Is that okay? Turn to your neighbor and say, expect suddenlies.
Expect suddenlies.
Expect suddenlies is the message tonight. And so let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we're thankful tonight to be alive at this particular time of history. We're thankful, Lord, that you are lifting up those who will live the crucified life into a higher level of power and authority, that we might walk in the present with you and your activities. Lord, tonight we surrender our hearts anew and afresh. We thank you for the blood of the Lamb, for the remission of our sins. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and move in our midst, move in our lives. Father, we pray that your Spirit would come and quicken and energize. Lift us up in this hour, Lord. Lord, we read the book of Acts, but we know it's continuing today. And may our hearts, even this night, Lord, receive a zeal from heaven. Receive something, Lord, beyond what we've experienced. But we pray in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen. 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 I want you to know the Church of Jesus Christ is alive and well around the globe. Amen. We are working in missions. We know that God is at work. We just had today someone come by bus who is our national director in the Congo. He's going to be with us a few days. He came to America to visit. And there's been many times he's been stripped of his clothes, his Bible taken, and the rebels have beat him. And he's went back home and he got another Bible and more clothes and some more IM curriculum. He started about 20 IM schools in the Congo. Great man of God. The Holy Spirit is in him, or he could not do that. You can go to any place on the globe. You just seen on a DVD, God's alive working in the rabbis. They have a hunger. The man who spoke at the end, Brother Rob, they paid his way to go to Israel, and he's sitting down in Jerusalem at a council, outdoor council, and they had several rabbis just ask him questions. What do you evangelicals believe? Why do you love us? What do you think the future is? Tell us what you think who the Messiah is. Can you imagine this? That's wonderful. The Spirit of God is alive. And the church began to grow through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's going to grow today. We need to have the Holy Spirit in operation in our life. The zeal of the Lord gripped these early believers, and they took the gospel beyond barriers of ethnic and geography, and they went with the gospel and spread the good news of Jesus Christ by the power of the resurrected life that was in them. And the same Spirit that was alive in the book of Acts is alive today in your life and my life. One thing that God is going to speak is through Brother Don Noray is God out of our control. And how many times are we trying to control the Spirit of the Lord in our life and what He wants to do, rather than let God be in control of our life? So be ready. Have an expectancy for God to bring changes, and sometimes abruptly. Those who have an open heart to the Lord is lifting up into a higher level of relationship with Him, a higher level of power and authority, that we could be actively involved in what He's involved in on the earth today. We're coming to the end of the church age, and we're getting ready to be ushered into the millennium, the kingdom of God upon the earth. And I want to tell you, the amount of the kingdom of God you allow in your life now will determine how far in the kingdom you're going to go later. It behooves us to say, yes, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Reduce me down, Lord, to nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We all know a lot of spiritual verses. We know a lot of spiritual notions. We read books. We listen to cassettes. But, oh God, it's one thing to hear the message. It's another thing to receive the message, to be changed by it. sometimes we talk about things we don't really know what we're talking about. We know about them, but we don't know them. Lord, work in our hearts. Reduce us down. The book of Acts was written by Luke, that beloved physician. He was a close associate of Paul. He had traveled with Paul. The book was probably written about 64 AD because it leaves Paul in prison in Rome. It doesn't talk about Paul's death. It does not talk in 70 AD about Jerusalem being destroyed. So it's probably written about 64. And what the book of Acts is a sequel to the Gospels. In the Gospels, we see what Jesus spoke, what Jesus did. But in the book of Acts, you see by the Spirit of God what the believers continued to do, what Jesus had been doing. And if you notice in the book of Acts, there's no amen at the end. The book of Acts, the acts of the Holy Spirit are still being carried out today. And may they be carried out in our life. We see the spread of Christianity in the book of Acts from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and even to Rome, because Paul is there in Rome. What it is the beginning of the fulfillment of what Jesus said in Matthew 28, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And probably the key to this book is Acts 1:8. And probably the King James Version is the best rendering of that verse, where it says, but you, turn to your neighbor and say, but you shall receive power. After the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The King James says after. Most modern versions says when. But power is nothing that's instantly given to anyone. It's a process. When the Holy Spirit comes in, it's the beginning of the work of the Holy Spirit. But as we allow the Lord to work in us, to conform us to the image of Jesus, that the word that we know becomes experiential in our life, power comes in our life. And so, our lives, we've got to continually walk with Jesus, continually allow the word to be written out in our hearts, become experiential, and then power will increase. Lord, have your way in my life. I am a fellow pilgrim with you folks, and I'm asking the Lord to do a deeper work in my life. I want the rest. You know, it's not how old you are. At my age, you're wondering how many years you got left. It's not how old you are, but how many years have I got left? Anybody relate to that? And how many years I got left? I want it for the glory of God, whatever He would have. So Acts 1:8 predicts the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that was going to take the gospel beyond geographical barriers, was going to take it beyond Jerusalem to Samaria, cross-culturally, and was going to go to the ends of the earth. So it began in Jerusalem, where the Jews received the gospel. The gospel's to the Jew, what? First? Okay. And then, and in these first seven verses, you see Peter is the main person who is being used. And he is being used as a major role in sharing the gospel to the Jews. If you read end of chapter 7, beginning of verse 8, you read about the death of Stephen. And, boy, that's a marvelous scripture to read. He is being stoned, and he looks up, and he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Normally, Jesus is sitting at the right hand, but Jesus probably said, here's somebody dying like I did. I've got to take this standing up. And when he's being stoned, he says, Father, lay this not at their charge. Sounds just like Jesus on the cross. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. If they knew, they wouldn't do it. Oh, may we be so filled with the Spirit that we can be wrongfully used, even to the point of death, he could say, Lord, don't charge him with this. Something happened with Stephen, did it not? And then you see the persecution began. The Christians scattered, and they wherever they went, they took the gospel. And in chapter 9, there's a wonderful thing that happens. Somebody who's opposed to the gospel, Saul of Tarsus, doing everything he can to wreak havoc. There's a sovereign intervention in his life. The Shekinah shines on him. He goes to the ground, and he says, Lord, who art thou? He knew about the great I Am in the Old Testament. And then the reply comes back, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. Now he knows the great I Am has come as the Messiah, Jesus. And so his life changes entirely, 180 degrees. And then from chapter like 13 on, you see Paul kind of taken over as the main role, taking the ministry to the Gentiles. If you look at chapter 1, verse 1, you see, the former account I made with O Theophilus of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. And here you're seeing what he was doing and what he was teaching was being carried out in his followers. Lord, may that be true in my life. The works that you did, that I might do those works, the teaching you did. You know, we've received some criticism from some pastors. Why are you trying to court these rabbis? Why are you trying to do this? Because if you read Jesus, what did he do? He went from place to place. Where did he go? To the synagogues, did he not?
Amen.
So why do we stay away from him? Let us go. And so the Gospels told about Jesus, what he began to do and what he began to teach. And the book of Acts is when the risen Lord continues to do by the Holy Spirit in the believers. And he's still doing it today. How many of us have read good books about healings and all kinds of things? Well, why not us? Why not us? Are we open? Are we available? Are we saying, Holy Spirit, have your way in me? Acts is really the practicing of Christianity the way it ought to be practiced. Oh Lord, bring me up to standard. You also learn in there how believers lived together. They had fellowship. They sold things. They had things in common. Their own personal possessions and lives weren't so important to them. It was the kingdom. It was for the brethren. You also see another thing in the book of Acts that we have today. Strong personalities. Any strong personalities in this room? Three, that'll admit it. But we're all pretty strong. But if you look at chapter 15... you'll see that these strong personalities were willing to sit down and hear each other out. So Lord, help us to be able to sit down, even with folks who are see things differently or from a different pinnacle than we do, and talk things out. It says in 1 Corinthians 13 that we prophesy in part, we know in part. That's why we need each other. God has made us interdependent. So that you have a part, you have a part, I have a part. We can have more of the whole. Somebody say amen?
Amen.
One of the greatest characteristics I see in the book of Acts of early Christians, they had power. Today, I think we would say we have talk. They had power. I want to challenge all of us to have stronger personal devotions. You see, another thing they did, they prayed and they fasted. Pray and fast. Have strong personal voice. Say, Lord, I want to be used. I want the power of the Holy Ghost to be able to work in me and out of me. Have your way. How many want to really be used of the Holy Ghost in these latter days? Lord, use me some way, somehow. They prayed and they fasted often. And their faith was released in miracle working, happening. Oh Lord, may our faith increase by reading the Word, receiving a rhema word, asking God for a gift of faith so that we can move out and signs will follow us. I'm preaching to myself here, okay? Oh, Lord, that signs would follow my life for your glory. And so you see the gospel is being preached here. The good news, Jesus, the death of Jesus, his resurrection. And he rose from the dead and he sat down at the right hand of God the Father, a place of honor, but also a place of executive power. And from there, the Holy Spirit is poured out that enables us to do the work that he began to do and say. I hope this will teach and help you. It does me. He began to do and say this. He's risen. He's got executive power. He pours out his Spirit to you and I that we can continue to say and do what he did. Really, Christianity's pretty simple. We make it kind of complicated. You know? Lord, help us. One of my little grandsons, 4 years old, he comes up to me in church in this new building. Got a lot of chairs and half of them aren't full. He comes up and he said, "Don't worry, Grandpa. All the chairs are going to be full." See, you don't have to be 40 or 50 or 80 to have faith. He's 4 years old. He's got faith. They're all going to be full. He's told me that more than once. They're all going to be full. And when he prays, sometimes he'll say, "Lord, fill the chairs." He's got that in him. I think his prayer will be answered.
Amen.
I'm glad to have a junior deacon like that.
Amen.
I need more of them like that. Hallelujah. Lord, help us. And the gift of the Holy Spirit. Wow, Lord, we need that gift again and again. Yes, we've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, but Lord, I need an infilling all the while. Pour it out on me. I'm open. I'm available. I want life-changing encounters with you. Say life-changing.
Life-changing.
You know, we are conditioned by our culture we live in, by the media we watch, by our past experiences. But Lord, life-changing encounters with you, I pray. Help me, Lord. And the Spirit of God authorizes us, gives us delegated power to preach, to teach, to lay hands on people, to believe God for the healing of the sick, for the casting out of devils, and that captives can be set free. You know how many captives need to be set free? Almost every other person you meet on the street, they have lie-based thinking, emotional hang-ups. They're in a mess. Oh, let's not be embarrassed. Let's not be ashamed of the gospel, but tell them about Jesus. Wow. You know what I've said to some people even who were really half bombed out of their mind? Just say Jesus. Just say Jesus. The Bible says if you call on the name of Jesus, you'll be saved. Just say Jesus. Say it again, Jesus. It's the beginning of an open door if they can just say the name. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you want to write this down. The book of Acts is a story of the disciples receiving what Jesus received in order to do what Jesus did. The book of Acts is a story of you and I receiving what Jesus received in order to do what Jesus did. Oh, you want to get in on this? Yes, let's get in on this. We need to realize, like this song we were playing today, "Romance Me, Lord." He desires a relational situation with us that gives us a dynamic power, that he becomes more real to us than we are, than the world is. We become filled with the Spirit, as it said in the book of Acts, that the Holy Spirit would fall upon us, that we would see the promise that Jesus said. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. The promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Oh, thank you, Lord. First thing I want to say to you, have an expectation of revival. It can happen, just like you said. It can happen any day. It can happen any time. Revival, Lord. We're believing for revival for this city we're living in. Yes, Lord, for this community, we're believing you. If you want to turn to Acts chapter 2, you saw unexpected, sudden revival. The day of Pentecost came. Wow. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The crowd responded. How do we hear these people speak in our own tongues? And yet there were other people heard, said, oh, they're drunk. They drink too much wine. Isn't that something, though, how two people can see the same thing and come up with different conclusions? One thief saw Jesus and mocked him. One thief saw Jesus and said, remember me this day when you go to paradise. You know, and you and I, Lord, work in our hearts that we don't have the mind of a Pharisee. We're not caught in a religious trap, but we have a relationship with you that when we see the Lord moving or the Lord speaking to us, that we don't put it aside. How many here love somebody? We all do. What can hurt you the most? If somebody you love, whether it be your wife or your child or your sister or whoever, if they're aloof from you and don't really care, won't have any relationship much with you, send you a Christmas card. What's it do to you? Oh, cause grieving. Oh, Lord, forgive me for the times that I've caused grieving in your heart by being aloof, doing my agenda, my schedule, not taking time set at your feet. Oh Lord, I want to have this relationship with you. And Peter gets up and he preaches this dynamic sermon, tremendous. And when he gets all done in chapter 2 speaking, they say, what do we do now? I've never had that happen in a sermon. I preached a lot of them, and you get two or three people at the end who come up, oh, I was touched, what do I do now? But I've never had a church full of people say, what do we do now? Have you ever seen that?
No.
But I'd like to. Ah, oh, Lord, send your Spirit like you did at that day with Peter, where people were so touched, so glad they received the word, and they cried out, now what must we do? And Peter said, repent, every one of you, verse 38, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And right after that, what happened? They started having fellowship, breaking of bread, prayers. Fear come upon everyone. Those who believed began to have things in common, began to share their life, began to be very benevolent, to give things. They had experienced God's love so much that they wanted to emulate God's love by giving. Not that you have to give, but they wanted to give, because what's one of the characteristics of God? He's a giver. Oh, Lord, touch me in such a way I want to give. I want to be released. So, there was sudden revival happened in the book of Acts. How many would like to see it in this town?
Amen.
Yes, Lord, I'm believing for that to happen. Chapter 6, you see sudden reassignments. The widows were having trouble. Not everyone was being served properly. And they came to the disciples about it. And they decided to choose some deacons. And 6:5 says, they chose seven. One of them was Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And they chose these seven. Look at verse 8. Boy, I'd like to get deacons like this. Say it with me. Pastor Jay would like to get deacons like this. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Oh, Lord, send them deacons. I like them deacons. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. There's a need, and all of a sudden, seven men are chosen. They're given reassignments. You are going to be deacons now. You're going to minister like this. Wow. I want to encourage you, if you've sought after the Lord, you love the Lord, you're walking along, you could wake up tomorrow with a new assignment from God.
Amen.
A new assignment. We have a young couple in their 40s. Oh, devout young people, touched, been helping out, and I am a little bit. He's the butcher in the store, and she's been a business person. But you know what's happened in the last couple months? They're going to be leaving their job. They got their house in the market already. They're going to go to Uganda. A reassignment. Wow. He hasn't been to seminary, but you know what? When he's been cutting meat, he's been worshiping, praying. Lord, use me. I'm open. I'm available. Him and his wife have a strong devotion. All of a sudden, they got a new assignment. How many are ready for a new assignment, maybe? Look at chapter 9. Sudden, impossible conversions. Paul, the last person you would ever think Saul of Tarsus would get saved, to get saved. Wow. How many here know somebody you don't think could ever get saved? I mean, they're just roughed up, chew tobacco, and spit in your eye. You know what? God can move on them and change them.
Amen.
You know what? A man kicks the hardest where he goes over the waterfalls. Amen. And people who are railing against the church, railing against the Bible, you know why? Because the truth is getting close to them, yeah. And they're trying to be defensive. But God suddenly can touch them and change them. Ah. Lord, have your way. So, sudden revival can come. Let's be open to it. Sudden reassignments. Oh, Lord. Wow. Sudden impossible conversions. In fact, I believe the Lord would say this to you. Be open, because in very unique ways there'll be people you know who will come to you and ask you about this Jesus business. I believe God is moving on people individually who are going to cry out and say, "Oh, I want to know." Now, three times in the book of Acts, Paul's conversion is talked about, three different chapters. God wanted to emphasize an impossible conversion can happen.
Amen.
It can happen. Say it with me. It can happen.
It can happen.
It can happen.
It can happen.
I prayed with a 90-year-old woman this morning. I've known her for many years. This old girl's 90. She likes to go to the bar three nights a week. Likes to sit on the bar stool, likes to order a couple of drinks, and likes to try to pick up a guy if she can at 90. I mean, she's taking her vitamins. But her daughter, who's a believer, has been working to her and asked me if I would go and see Mom. So I went over and seen Helen this morning. The daughter left. We spent a long time. I explained the salvation message. We prayed together. She said, "There's something going on inside of me. There's something going on inside of me." We prayed. And when we got all done, at the end of the thing, she said, "I think I've prayed about my sins now. I think I've talked to the Lord." Wow! I called her daughter and left a word on the phone. That ought to make her happy. It made me happy. I mean, a 90-year-old woman who wants to go to bars yet, saying, "I've asked the Lord to forgive me." Ah. It's never too late, brother.
There you go.
Hallelujah. Let's look at chapter 10. Sudden vision. Say sudden vision.
Sudden vision.
There's a guy named Cornelius. He's a Roman soldier. He's a devout man, a man who feared God with all of his household, who gave alms generously to people and prayed to God always. He gets a vision from the Lord. You know what? If here's a person who had a heart towards God, who was praying, giving alms, and God said, there's raw material in which I could give a vision to.
Amen.
And they'll do something about the vision. Sometimes we say, well, I've never had a vision. Do we have the atmosphere in our life, the desire in our life, if we got one, that we do something with it? Ah. Yes, Lord. And he had compassion for the poor. Then Peter has a vision. How many know you can get a vision suddenly? Oh, Lord, help me. And, but in verse 35, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. That would be a breakthrough, just to understand that verse. In every nation, in Iran, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, anywhere, if there's somebody who honestly fears the Lord and wants to live righteously, God will meet him. Oh Lord, give me vision. Let's turn to chapter 12. Sudden judgment. A lot of suddenlies in the book of Acts. Wow. Sudden revival, sudden reassignment, sudden conversions, sudden vision, now sudden judgment. Isn't this something here? They killed James, the brother of John, and yet Peter is released from the prison. Why would God allow one to die and one to be delivered? That's the sovereignty of God. I don't have an answer for that. God works different, doesn't he? But there's a group of people in the house praying for Peter. Rhoda hears a knock on the door, runs out, comes back and says, Peter's at the gate. She's so excited she didn't even let the guy in. And they say, oh, you're crazy. You've seen his ghost. There they are praying. And when the answer comes to their prayer, they don't believe it. Have you ever had that experience?
Yeah.
And sometimes the answer comes differently than we thought. We didn't. Okay. And so, look at verse 21. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne, gave an ordination to them, and the people kept shouting, the voice of God and not of man. Then immediately the angel of the Lord struck him, because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. You know, God, all these high and mighty people, God can handle them pretty good, can he not? Oh, wow. You know, God can use people in high places like Caesar. Got to have a sense that you got to go back to the town of your family. Well,
yeah.
God used him so prophecy could be filled. So Jesus was born in Bethlehem. God's using our president for his purposes and other people. We need to be praying for these people. They need to come to know the Lord. Is that right?
Amen.
Because it's either know the Lord or face judgment. Ooh. Say sudden deliverance. Chapter 16. Sudden deliverance. Paul and Silas are thrown in prison. And an earthquake comes. And the jailer comes in ready to take his life. Because he thought the prisoners had gone. And Paul and Silas say, don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. We haven't gone anywhere. And it says that the jailer and his whole household were what? Baptized. And what did they say to him? 16:30. He says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your household. Oh, brethren, let's come into that place where we really believe in the Lord Jesus. And that changes us so much and makes us his fragrance that those around us get saved also. Wow. How many here are saved? Raise your hand. Most. Good. Do you know what? Generally, God saves the worst one in the family first.
Amen.
And the ones that you think are the worst, God can save them because he saved you.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. So sudden deliverance came to them. Impossible situation. How many are in a tough situation right now? Deliverance can come. And it can come suddenly. God can change the whole thing around quickly. Wow. We had a woman in our church here about 2 weeks ago. She comes up to me, "Oh, Pastor, you know how broke we've been, you know. Her husband had a good job making about 60 grand. He lost it. You know what he's been doing this summer? Driving the ding-a-ling truck, selling ice cream. And the end of this month, it's all done. Now he's going to be looking again. I don't know about here, but over where we are, it's difficult to find jobs. It's hard. But she pulled out and said, "Look at this government check I got. I don't even know why. Look at this check. It's made out to me." She says, "This is such a miracle. We can't dare use it. I'm going to sign it over and give it to the church because it's such a miracle. I want the church to have the miracle." Well, I thought that was a miracle that she wanted to give the church the money because she don't have no money. But she thought it was such a miracle, she wanted the church to have the miracle. But that was a sudden thing that happened. We weren't planning on, they weren't planning on. Oh, say it can happen suddenly. Yes, Lord. We can have revival next week. Hallelujah. You can give us reassignments, Lord. Hallelujah. And possible conversions in our family, on our workplace. You could give me a sudden vision tonight, Lord, that would change or cement the direction of my life. There could be sudden judgment upon those who are giving us problems. There could be sudden deliverance from the situations I'm in. This message is helping me. I don't know if it's helping you, but I'm suddenly.
Amen.
Let's turn to chapter 28. Sudden answers to prayers. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Sudden answers to prayer. But when they had escaped, they found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness. Can you imagine being shipwrecked? I'm sure you're praying, "Lord, save us, save us." And when they got there, they were shown unusual kindness. "For they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul was gathering a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper, a snake, came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the natives saw the creature hanging on his hand, they said to one another, 'No doubt this man's a murderer, whom, though he has escaped the sea, yet judgment does not allow to live.' But he shook off the creature into the fire, and he suffered no harm." Say, "Shake it off."
Shake
Turn
off.
Your hand and say, "Shake it off."
Shake
when
off.
The snake tries to grab a hold of your life, shake it off.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Sudden answer to prayers. God saved him from the sea. God saved him from the viper. And God can save you and I from situations we're facing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And the story that began in the book of Acts about the Holy Spirit, what the delegated power from Jesus down to believers so they could continue to teach and do the works that Jesus has done, was all the way through the book of Acts, and it's happening today. And I know it's happened in your lives to some extent, it's happened to mine to some extent, but Lord, I want it to happen every day.
Amen.
I want to speak for you and minister for you every day in every situation that I'm in. And that work is going to continue until Jesus comes back.
Amen.
It's going to increase. His glory and knowledge is covering the earth. So be open for supernatural gifts. Be open for the manifestations of the Spirit. Be open for God to visit you and quicken you and make you alive and lift you up in a higher level of relationship. It's not reading a book and getting all excited. It's for the living God to come. Oh, God! Hallelujah! Having an encounter with God that changes your life, equips you, and sends you forth. Do you know why God changes not? But we have to be changed to be conformed to the image of Jesus. I might probably mentioned this before, but I'll tell it again. I like it. Bob Mumford has written a lot of books. He was once praying, and he said, "When I was praying deeply, the Lord said, Bob, you and I are not compatible, and I change not.
Got a clue.
Wow. Change me, Lord. Even change me suddenly, Lord. Even I've contextualized how the present and the future will be, but Lord, you can change it however you want, whatever you desire. I'm open. I'm available for what you have. I'm open. I'm available, Lord. Raise me up to a higher level of authority, responsibility, Lord. Lord, open my eyes, I might see. I want to urge all of you to have some quiet time. It was good you had some music on before. Do it at home. Just set in the chair and say, yes, Lord, I'm waiting on you. Cultivate a listening ear. But in addition to that, have an obedient heart. When God says something, do it. Because delayed obedience is disobedience. In the self-same day when God speaks, let's be obedient. I'm not saying being foolhardily, but when you know the Lord has spoken, you must obey. And that faith will give you faith for more faith. And faith is faith whether you feel good or you don't feel good. Faith is different. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I was watching the news the other night. I got done, I turned to Evelyn, I said, well, you see what they're saying tonight. You got two more worries. Don't let your children play basketball because they could bump their heads. And some kids are having problems playing basketball. And the second thing is, the exhaust from your car may be killing the plants. So there's two more things. You ever watch the news? Every time you get done with it, it's one, two, three, five things. Don't drink coffee, it'll make your hair fall out, or whatever they say. They're, and the world is trying to put fear on us. But we mustn't. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but what? Of love, power, and a sound mind. I'm not going to receive that which is being spoken over my life. I'm going to receive what you say, Lord. What you have, Lord. The book of Acts, I want to urge you to read it again. Put it on in tape form and just sit and listen to it and say, oh, Lord, I want to be caught up in your activities. And like them early disciples were, whatever you desire, Lord, call suddenly. And I know as you get older, and you're not getting older, but as you get older, we don't like change, do we? It's the way we've always done it. But I tell you, our posture should be, Lord, if you want to bring changes in my life, bring them in my life. Amen. I'm open. I'm available for what you have. And I want to tell you, we're living in a time now when there's some mobility, some readjustment in the body of Christ. God is getting people where they should be and functioning how they should be. So have your way, Lord. Have your way in us. Work in us, Lord. We want to be available. Lord, I thank you for these fine people you have here tonight. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord. And I pray, Lord, whatever suddenly you want to bring in any life that's here, that there would be an openness, an availability on their part to receive, Lord. Holy Spirit, we're asking you to bring change in our life, to make us more conformable with your plans, your purposes, Lord. Lord, we're crying out for sudden revival to break loose.
Yes.
Lord, reassign us in any way you desire, I pray. Lord, some of these impossible people we know, I pray that you would save their souls somehow, Lord. Amen. They need to get saved, Lord. Lord, I lack enough vision. Give me some vision. Give me understanding. Give me a clarity in the Spirit, I pray, Lord. Lord, I pray for deliverance from things that have held me back, Lord. Set me free to be able to follow after you, Lord, in a new and a living way, I pray. Have your way in my life, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I want to leave you with one other thing. In the world today, there's a spirit of confusion. It used to be you could go into a store, pull out $2 and say, I want two flashlight batteries. I give you the batteries. You went out.
Now you go in, what's your zip code, sir? And could I see your credit card? Would you like to receive our circular? I mean, it takes 10 minutes to go to Radio Shack to get two batteries. You ever go in the doctor's office waiting? Almost every time you go, they give you three pages. You know? I was born July 19, 1945. That hasn't changed, sir. I don't need to. How many times do you have to know that? That's when I was born. You know? Confusion everywhere. You ever try to go to a motor vehicle and get your plates? Now in New York State, you know what they did this year? You can keep your plate for one price. You can get a new one, like the one you got for another price, or you can get new ones that are yellow and black for a different price. Oh, my heavens. I mean, I want a license plate. You got to go through all this to get it. It's confusion. But as Christians, I want to urge you, simplicity gives you revelation. The simplicity of God's word. The simplicity, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. The simplicity that he said he will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. The simplicity, he'll never leave me or forsake me. He will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. If God be for me, who can be against me? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He brought him out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among the tribes. Man, I'm getting my head cleaned out just a little bit. Isn't that a lot better than just the newspaper and the TV and everything? Yes. All that complicated stuff. Yeah. Wow. Yes, Lord, give us simplicity. And you know what? If you can learn to think simple and then have simple faith, you won't need to count for it.
Amen.
You're not going to have to read the books about depression. You won't have all the confusion in your life. Yes, Lord.
Well, the Lord bless you. Appreciate all of you. And that's what I felt I had tonight, and hope it's a help to you.
Amen.
Lord bless you.
Would you give the Lord a clap offering, please? You know, our God is a God of order, and I want to remind you that there were times when this man has come and he's just literally filled us. And more than once, the gifts that he has no clue he left behind. It's like planting a garden. He puts seeds in us, and God willing, we'll water them and continue to water them so that they'll grow. Would you extend your hand towards him, please? Father, we just want to release grace to him and his wife that are going on vacation. And more than anything else, Lord, that you protect him, protect his family. We're grateful for what you have done, for what you have given us through him. And we promise, Father, that we'll continue to intercede for him and those that are around him and those that he works with and I am and those especially in his immediate family that need the extra. Father, fill him to the capacity so he can give out of the fullness of his heart. In Jesus' name.